All right. I can say one thing for a certainty, Miss Amy. When you're not here, it's a disaster, me running the recording stuff. Yeah, but I didn't record some. So you got up when I sent you, but they even reminded me at the 1 o'clock last week, you know, so I bring it up and I hit, you know, get everything there and I don't hit the final button, you know. So it's all said and done. I'm wondering, why does it show no minutes?
Oh, because you didn't do anything.
All right. How's that? I'm probably a little bit louder than we need. That's a little bit loud. Our military guys are off doing their weekend duty, and then Zane's in the Sunday school room. Okay, that I think that'll do. So we don't have our PA guys. You know, he came to me and said, we don't have our PA guys. And I thought, well, I saw Ashley and Neil, you know. I'm thinking Pennsylvania people. But, he meant the PA. Not the PA. All right, so let's go to John chapter 15. We're just starting John chapter 15. We spent ever so long in John chapter 14. Father, I do pray now that you give us wisdom and understanding in what we hear. I thank you for our brother and sister, Jonathan and Darlene Combs, being here with us today, and pray that you prosper their trip. Give us all good understanding, good fellowship together. And I pray that you help us to understand the burden they have. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, Jesus Christ says this. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And the vine is used over and over again throughout the Word of God. You know, God just teaching on it and such. It's interesting because during the Middle Ages, this is the passage that both Catholics and Calvinists use to burn people. Because if it doesn't bring forth fruit, what do? You take it, it says you burn it, okay? And that was the passage that they used. And so it's one of those things that you always find that when God's speaking allegorically, the Catholics always took it literal. And when he's speaking literal, they always took it allegorical, okay? It's just, but again, many of your brethren burned at the stake, these being the last words they ever heard, okay, being used against them. But what I want to highlight on today, and we'll probably end up going back into verses 1 and 2, but it says, now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Now, some of you know in the back of the book there, Who Moved the Goalposts or book, I have a list called Birth by the Word. And it was a list that I had to use when I was lost, and I just had been religious, and I knew I was lost, and I just couldn't find assurance. And I wake up one morning thinking, well, maybe I really am saved. And, you know, I'd go that day in that delusion, and then I'd go the next day thinking I'm lost again and such, and back and forth. And, you know, and finally the Lord convinced me there is a salvation that knows. You don't have it, but there is one. It says there is, okay? Where it's rock solid, it's born inside of you, and you know, as a baby calf knows to go and suckle from that mother, and as a robin knows to fly back down to Costa Rica come, you know, September and fly back here, as the Arctic Tern is going to go from one pole to another without anyone telling it, the born-again person knows they're born of God. It's just, it's there. It's born into them. It's part of them. And so I could see that intellectually in the Word of God, but I didn't have it. And my pastor put together that list of verses called Birth by the Word, showing you how it's the Word of God that does the work, okay? It's the Word of God. And the Word of God comes inside of you and creates faith, okay? I know not how the Spirit moves, creating faith in him, okay? See, they understood that back then when they wrote those songs. And it was actually going through that list that God eventually pinned me that greased marble, that slimy thing you hold and it slips out of your hands. That grease marble, you put the pressure on it, shoot, so it's there everywhere. And Dale was asking me this morning, he was just frustrated. If you listen to his messages, he preached in, was it Slater Baptist Church?
Yes,
Slater. Slater Baptist Church down in Florida, and then he preached in New Light, or Living Waters Baptist Church in Moxville, he preached there. And, you know, if you listen to those messages, powerful messages, they're good, okay? But it's that frustration again of people looking at you. And, you know, there's times it reminds you, I've heard a preacher use before, it's like a calf staring at a new rail fence. You know, just stands there and stares at it, not quite comprehending it. You know, it's looking at it and staring at it. And you look at that, and you look at these people you're preaching to, and it just doesn't seem to be getting anywhere. And Brother Vernon actually got a hold of me. He was frustrated because he has people in there who he knows are lost. They know they're lost. You know, well, why don't they get saved? Because they don't understand why they're lost. Okay? They don't understand, and that's what repentance is, understanding why you're lost. What it is about you that God would burn you in hell forever rather than let you into heaven. Okay? What is it about you personally? And it's God desires that every single person should understand that about themselves. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. That's his desire. And Solomon put it this way. He says, I know that God hath made man upright, but man hath sought out many inventions. And I'm just telling you, we live in the age of invention. Now, patent office would tell you that. Anybody with any sense would tell you that. But a preacher with any discernment will tell you the same inventions are going on in the hearts of men and the minds of men, the strange things that go on. And if it wasn't enough that America should have given itself over to evolutionary thinking, socialist thinking, if it wasn't enough that it should give itself over to all this, I'm okay, you're okay, and everything else, the Independent Baptist then came up with a quick 1, 2, 3, Jesus Save Me movement. And it was like the final nail in America's coffin. It was just the absolute way to destroy this country and see to it that it just ground under and just no hope whatsoever. And the salt lost its saltiness. Just didn't have it anymore. And if you go and you listen, you go somewhere and you hear a bunch of independent fundamental Baptists, and some of them are dear friends of mine. But they'll rail on that girl down at the 7-Eleven that pumped gas on with half her hair shaved off and tattooed and pierced nose, but they don't know how to change her life. They've lost that ability. They can't go out there and change her life. They don't know how to do it. And we don't want to lose that. Now, one of the things that I have found here is that God has blessed us in taking some people whose lives were awful, just terrible, in the gutter, vile things. And God's been so gracious to bless them and raise them up and give them a new life. And you love that. But I'm not sure how to reach people who never crawled in the gutter. I have a hard time reaching them, okay? And only God can do it. Now, I want to go to Isaiah 55. And we'll start with verse 1. And again, we're on this theme. Jesus said, you're clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. Well, you know, the word of God has many likenesses. It's likened underwater, okay? But the water in America today poisons people, okay? All the additives and everything. I remember going to a chiropractor in South Carolina one time, and I was really hurting, and he said, I think you've got a chemical poisoning. And I thought this guy is some kind of a crackpot. You know, all these chiropractors can be crackpots. And some of them are tremendous doctors. They're really great men. And he said, I think you have a chemical poisoning. I said, why do you think that? He says, well, in Columbia, South Carolina, the federal government orders them to add lead to the water. I said, what? He said, yeah, there's something about, they think it balances or whatever. And he said, he said, there's pockets all over the city where people are getting lead poisoning. And so he tested me. What he did is he had me pushing against his hand, and he put a drop of lead underneath my tongue. Oh, you don't have lead poisoning. He said, well, maybe it's mercury. And we're pushing there, pushing against that hand, and he put it in a touch mercury underneath my tongue, didn't do a thing. I said, that's odd. Let's try aluminum. And he put that aluminum underneath my tongue, and my hand just lost all power instantly. He pushed back, you have aluminum poisoning. Well, I work with aluminum. My hand's always cutting things with aluminum. And I thought, wow, this guy really does know what he's talking about. There really is something to this. And the thing is, you're just amazed at that, the federal government ordering the city to put lead in the water. To the point this chiropractor is finding people all over the city with lead poisoning and such. And, you know, what's another thing the Word of God's like to do? Bread, okay? Solomon said bread is good for the heart. You know, it used to be prior to the Civil War that if you went up to the Great Lakes Plains and you drove up through there, that was the breadbasket of America, Geneseo and all those areas through there, and Mount Morris and all that. And it moved out to the Midwest, but at one time that was the breadbasket. Bread back then was a different thing. Today, bread kills you. Men have changed it. Okay? Milk. Okay, the Word of God's likened unto milk. And, you know, milk's supposed to be good for you, but the thing is, by the time they take and atomize the fat in that milk, stick it back in there again, that's not good for you, that atomized. That's not good for you at all. It's terrible for you. And now you go over there to Ed's place and let them, you know, milk one of those cows and give you that milk, and that cream's in there just like it's supposed to. It's what God wanted it to be. But man's changed the milk and made it poison. Salt, okay? Salt is good, Jesus Christ said. Then why do doctors say it's bad? Because man changed the salt. Okay, it's not the same thing anymore. You go out there and get some crushed rock. We buy our salt from a place called Redmond Salt, where it's a salt mine in Utah, and they just take regular salt, just crush it, okay, and put it there, and it's actually really good for you and such. But you get that stuff in the stores. What they've done, they've heated it 1,200 degrees and then put aluminum in it and such, and so it won't clump, and it's poison. It destroys the body, okay? So all the things that God likens to the Word of God, when man changed the Word of God in the 1800s, God saw to it that our entire culture would poison itself with all those things, just as we poisoned ourselves with those words, okay? But we're living in an age where that has almost completely taken over. Just that idea of the Word of God. People don't even trust it anymore. It's hard. It takes me a couple of years of people in this church before they even trust the Bible. The men who taught that only the originals were the Word of God and it's been lost over the years and everything else never understood the damage they did to this country. Because the lowest gutter bums that I have dealt with, and I mean the lowest, when you begin to deal with them, tell you can't trust that Bible. And they'll tell you what's being taught over fundamental pulpits, that, you know, there's no exact Bible and that kind of stuff. And they'll the lowest gutter bums will tell you that. You go sit in a house, you don't think they've ever been around church or anything, and pretty soon they tell you that thing again. Well, you can't really trust any Bible anymore. And, well, you try to tell them, well, it's 95% pure or something like that, you know. You know, I can go in there in the bathroom, I can dip in that, and we got a bowl in there I can dip, and that water's about 95% pure if I dipped into it right now, but you wouldn't want to drink it, okay? And then you try to get a guy to say, well, we're going to get you to trust your soul to this, it's 95% pure, okay? Now, God said every word of God is pure, every word. So is this book the Word of God or not? If every word isn't pure, it's not the Word of God. It's just not, okay? And that's the issue today. Is this the Word of God or isn't it the Word of God? Okay? And it says this in Isaiah 55, verse 1, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters, And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. And of course, it goes back to Revelation, and one of the last things that's ever said in the book of Revelation, let he that is thirst come. Okay, come. And he's offering something for thirsty people. And it used to be that the church had that drink of water for them. It used to be the church had that pure milk for them. It used to be the church had those living waters to give them. And now the church doesn't have it anymore. They don't know where it is. They're not sure how to get it. You know, it's all the machinations of men and such that they give out there and these little plastic gospels we hand out. And, you know, the Combs are going down there to Mexico and such. And there they're going to be working with people who trusted little plastic figurines and, you know, things all their lives or whatever else and dealing with them. And it's actually almost easier to deal with those people because our plastic figurines are now somehow a tradition in the Bible or whatever. But it goes on, it says this, verse 2, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Well, some of us, by golly, we're there, all right? But, all right. Incline your ear and come unto me, and hear your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. And you know the thing with David is? David committed two sins in the Word of God for which there was no sacrifice whatsoever. Okay? There was no sacrifice ever for adultery. You can look through there. You committed adultery, and you can search through that Bible. There's no sacrifice. The other one is murder. You murdered someone, there was no sacrifice anywhere in the Word of God whatsoever. And so David said, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared for me. Okay? Lo, in the volume of the book it is written me, the sure mercies of David. That which the law could not justify, that which could never in a million years ever be settled under the law, God offers to us those sure mercies of David. He goes on, he says in verse 4, behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation thou knowest not. Oh, what a promise of God there. And nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. You know, when this was written, my ancestors were cannibals, running around in skins. I come out of the English Isles, okay? And in the English, you read Caesar's stuff, cannibals and spears and savage, horrible people with horrible superstitions. And yet God took those English Isles and wrought salvation and took their language and spread it through the world and spread the gospel through it. Unless you're an Italian, everybody suffered from that. But unless you're an Italian, your people were absolute savages when this was written. Absolute savages. Just people that you'd have been afraid of. And there's never been a more wicked people than the white people. What's yellow stand for? Yellow hair. Leprosy. Okay? What's blue stand for? The prince of the power of the air. Okay? And there's never been a people more savage and evil and treacherous than the white people. And it was said of them, they'll dwell in the tents of Shem. And I've heard fundamentalists, oh, look, where were the spirit? If somebody told you, well, your kids are going to live with other people, would you find that a blessing? You know, Joshua, your kids will never get a house. They'll just have to live with other people. That's a blessing? No. They just dwell in the tents of Shem. And, and pillaging and looting and taking other people's stuff. And it's just what the white race has been all through history. And yet God has given us an ascendancy in these days. There was days when he gave the Asiatic people. There's days he gave the black people. And we're passing that ascendancy on back into Asia again. Where it's being passed on in the power of God being passed on to other people. But what a thing, a nation that he knew not. A nation they didn't know. God said he'd give them those blessings. And we live on the very tail end of it. You know, we're like savages in a jungle that have a Toyota pickup truck. that they can still get in and start it and drive it. They don't know how to repair it. They could have never built it. If it ever breaks, they won't know what to do about it. And that's what our culture is today, with these liberties and these graces that God has put upon us. Now it goes on and it says this. Verse 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And you want to know something? I have found that's about the last thing people will ever let go of. You can take everything away from a person, but they're proud of their thoughts. I have dealt with street people on three continents. Where you're dealing with somebody who's just absolutely gutter bum and just as low as they can be, and you get to know them and they're glad, they'll take this handout or whatever else, and and eat the little bit of food you give them or whatever. But when you get talking to them, they're proud of what they think. They're proud of it. You talk to them. I have a saying that I used to say in my heart years ago, every man will be heard. In his heart, he wants to be heard. That's what he wants. And no one ever listens to that gutter bum. No one ever listens to anything yet. Why would you listen to him? But he can't see that. He's so proud of what he thinks. He's so proud of those opinions. And yet I've never met a person who didn't suffer from that. So the word of God says, let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts. Okay? Forsake them. And that's a hard thing. Now it goes on and it says this. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now verse 10, for as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, okay? Where's that snow coming from? From heaven. And returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Verse 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. Now, Dale, that's really what we bank on. I mean, that's really... If you get a chance to listen to Dale's preaching when he was down south, there's really some pretty good preaching. Okay? Very anointed, very powerful. And I had a pastor call me just frustrated. Frustrated. Because he has people still just staring back. That calf looking at the rail fence, just staring at it. And just frustrated. And I told him, I said, you know, I've been in Black Creek for 11 years and I still have people just staring back at me. I have a lot of people who know they're lost in this church, know it. And they just can't get that assurance. They just can't get it. But you know, if John Wesley had to wander 2 years like that, Adoniram Judson many years like that, doesn't shock me that people today would end up walking like that. Okay, it doesn't shock me that people today would go through that. The man who taught Jonathan Edwards soul winning was a guy by the name of Solomon Stoddard. He was his grandfather. Solomon Stoddard was the pastor of the church that Jonathan Edwards took in Northampton, Massachusetts for 40 years. And he wrote a book called A Guide to Christ. I strongly believe the book was a Calvinist, but it doesn't get in the way. His Calvinism doesn't interfere with that book at all. In fact, he rebukes lost people who worry that they might not be in the elect. And said, you know, that's even part of your sin to even worry about things like that, you know. But he says this. He talked about in his 40 years, he had four what he called harvests, where just unbelievable amounts of people got saved. He's preaching and they're getting saved. And then he said there were times he would go through 10-year droughts where he would preach and preach and preach, and the people would look at him. You ever go down to the creek fishing, and it doesn't matter what you put on that hook, they're just not going to bite. And then you get on the next day, you don't even have your fishing pole. You throw in a buttercup, and fish are gone, grabbing for it and such. And you're stunned. Man, I don't have my, you know, don't have my hook and my bait here and such today. And you're wondering that. And Solomon Stoddard just said that he goes through these long periods of time, up to 10 years, where he's just preaching and nothing's going on. Well, that Bible says something is going on. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. Okay? You know, it's a little frustrating, those of you who are waiting for spring and living, seeing that snow come down here. Snow's real pretty in December, but it's real ugly. Right? And, you know, just it's one of those things, and you're frustrated, and yet God promises that that snow is doing something. It's going to melt down in that ground, and that rain that's going to come, it's going to melt down in that ground, and saw a couple of robins out there arguing. That woman was telling him, I told you not to come yet. and you talk about henpecking, he was going through it. You know, that same ground will moisten up, and those old night crawlers will be coming up there, and them robins will get fat and carry that stuff to those babies, and, you know, those crocuses are going to come out of the ground, the peonies, and, you know, all those plants are going to flourish, and the buds are going to be on the tree, because that's just what the rain and the snow do. And God's word isn't going to return void. It's going to go down in there. Jesus said, you're clean through the word that I've spoken unto you. Okay, and it's probably one of the greatest things missing in the whole concept of soul winning today. It often takes me a couple of years just to convince people there really is a Bible. If you think about it, I spend more time witnessing to people there's a Bible than I ever do telling about Jesus Christ. You know why? Because if they ever fall in love with the Bible, Jesus Christ will abound them.
Sure.
Okay? He'll come to them. So I spend far more time convincing them there is a Bible. You can trust every word in this. You can trust every single capitalization, every comma, every apostrophe, every italicization. You can trust the chapter markings. You can trust it all. This is the word of God. There's a copy of this, I believe, that's sitting in heaven today in front of God is a copy of a King James Bible sitting exactly like that. Okay? I believe that. So I get so frustrated with King James editors when they change things in it and such. And go to war over it. And glory be to God. We just got another Bible in the mail from Church Bible Publishers. They've got the text exactly right. First time in over 10 years in America. Somebody's been printing it as far as a major publisher. Printing it exactly right. But what's going on? It's the Word of God. If we're going to carry on as a church, and again, one of the things I've loved about Pastor Hain coming here is it's put organization, okay? I remember when my father married my mother, I was 5 years old, and the Asquith kids were wild kids, and we just were. And you know what she did? She come in and she whooped some organization into the home, all right? She whooped some organization into it, and things got ordered and how they went and how they worked. And boy, what a benefit that was to my life at that time. Just I'll drive through Little Valley, New York sometimes, and I'm amazed at the things that as a four-year-old boy, the places I would just wander on my own. It amazes me, and I think, well, I was here. Would I ever let a four-year-old boy walk all this way, 3-4 blocks away from home and on a tricycle and such? And I just remember wandering those places and, you know, my sisters and such just doing whatever they wanted. And boy, I'll tell you what, my dad married my mom, that stopped. It was over. It was done. I love organization. Pastor Haynes come in here and kind of been a stepmom to us. And we've had some organization here, and I love that. It's good. God loves it. All right? Job described hell as a place without order. Okay? And I've loved that, to have that. And no matter what we do with the Word of God and preaching and such, if we don't have it sit, you know, if you take a gem and God said you put that ouch, that place for it to sit. And the decency and order of a church is the place for the doctrines to sit in. And without it, it doesn't work right. But the problem is we have churches all over America that have made the most wonderful ouches in the world, and they don't have a gem in the middle. Okay? They don't have the Word of God where it's supposed to be. Now, years ago when they had Candid Camera out there, One of the stunts they pulled was they had this hamburger stand there, and it just talked about all the things that went on their sandwich. And the greatest sandwich in the world and everything else, and people would come there, and they'd be eating that thing, and they'd realize about halfway through there's no burger in it. And you know, and they say, well, we didn't advertise that. We just told you we got all this stuff here. But the funny thing is, there are people ate the whole thing and never realized. And you say, what is this? You know, but it's really what's going on in American churches today. They sit there and eat all the dressings and all this, and oh, this is wonderful, and we're this and we're that, blah, 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 you know. And what's that old advertisement from the 80s? Where's the beef?
Yeah.
You know? Wendy's. Yeah, there you go. Where's the beef? Walter Mondale ran on that. All right? So God's word is what's going to make the difference. And yet we can have God's word, and if the order's not there, we confound it so much that God can't get the glory. But you better have that. You better have that balance in there. It goes on, and he says again this, verse 11 again. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, that shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. And I guess the thing I'd have to say is this, Dale. What does he intend? Well, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all, everybody. Never been a person born. No person walk in the streets anywhere that God doesn't desire that that person should come to repentance. Okay? That's his purpose. And so that's why we put the word of God out there. And let that happen. You know, one of the most frustrating things in the world is to find something where you're trying to loosen a nut on a bolt. And they seem to be fused together from years of neglect and rust and everything else. And you take some penetrant, you squirt it on that, you take that wrench, you can just see that bolt straining, it's going to break. So you squirt some more penetrant on it, you come out the next day, and boy, that bolt looks like it's going to break, okay? But the day comes when that penetrant has slowly worked its way through there. Slowly done it. Keep spraying that on there. And one day you hear this most horrible sound. But the bolt didn't start to break. That nut moved. Okay? It moved. And the stuff that runs out of there, it's horrible. The sounds are horrible. But you get that nut loose. And, you know, it's one of those things. How's it feel to be a loose nut down here? Yeah. You know, but that's what we do with the Word of God. Put it out there. Put it out there. And again, Brother Vernon called me yesterday. Same thing Dale was saying today. Just frustrated. How are they taking this preaching and it's not moving? How are they taking this preaching and don't have that born again experience yet? How are they taking that preaching and it? I can get people to make a profession. I learned that before I was ever saved. Okay? I can get people to make professions. I bet you I could go to downtown Olean now and stand on a street corner with a bunch of tracks, and I'll bet you in an hour I can get five people to pray the sinner's prayer. I was trained to do it. Okay? And you want to know what? You won't change a single life. That person will go on there and there won't be a single thing that will happen to him. There won't be anything that will happen out of it. Other than you've inoculated them against Jesus. When the next person comes up and preaches, they'll say, I don't need that. Okay? I've already gone through that. And such. But to actually see Jesus Christ go into a heart and kick it over. And take the whip and kick the tables over and cast the money on the floor and cast out the money changers and cleanse that thing and be jealous for it and make it his home. And that person utterly changed. They come into the house of God and lift up holy hands without wrath or doubting. And that change. I just found we live in an age where it's frustrating to get people there.
Yes, sir.
It is. For one thing, the fundamentalists have told them for years it doesn't matter if you don't have that. No, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if we don't see any outward change in you. Doesn't matter if, you know what John Wesley said towards the end of his career? He said, how has the world changed? He said, I used to come into this town And people would try to beat us and stone us. And he said, now crowds are in the streets and cheering as we come through. He's an old man now. And he said, the only enemies we have left are the superlapsarianists. What did that mean? It's people who believe that you can get saved and there's no outward change and your life doesn't have to change. He said, those are the only enemies he had left. That's the fundamental Baptist today.
That's right, Pastor.
Okay? Out there, and all these people make these professions and such. Pastor, I was telling Neil and Ashley, said, you know, when Pastor Hain taught youth in that church for years, I've seen the fruit of them coming by as adults. I've seen it. I've seen those people. They're on the mission field. Not all of them. There's some of them out there destroyed. That was their choice. But I've seen the difference in their lives. But I'm not expecting to have the current crop going on over there. Okay? Not expecting to see that. Because it's gone into this thing where people don't understand what those kids need to get and what they need to have. Okay? And it's changed in America. No one's caught on to the change. No one's caught on to what's happening. Okay? No one's caught on to the fact that it's been years since we've seen new converts in churches. Years since we've seen changes with new families, with hope in Jesus Christ and clean and holy and children that go to bed with hope and families that wake up and just can't wait to live another day for Jesus Christ. It's been years since we've seen that. And nobody's caught on. It just hasn't gone. P.D. James, and I've never read a thing by her, ever, but I heard her interviewed, and they were interviewing her about a book, and her book was that a disease hit Europe, and everybody was infertile. And she said the first people to notice were the midwives, that suddenly they didn't have any business anymore. And slowly the doctors began to realize, yeah, well, nobody's getting pregnant anymore. And it took a while for everybody to understand that no babies are being born. How long is it going to take the fundamentalists to understand? How long is it going to take them to catch on that people aren't getting saved? There's no, so they've changed what salvation is.
True.
They've made it a prayer. This idea, I prayed this prayer. And it doesn't matter if you change. It doesn't matter if you come to the house of God. And the great churches out there, and there are many of them. Brother Combs is highly indebted. His family and everything. Tennessee Temple, okay, which at one time was one of the strongest and stoutest places for God on this earth, and finally closed in shame.
Yeah, right. It's true.
And slowly, the great churches are just melting away.
Yes,
with no new births.
That's right.
Yeah, no new births. And what are left of God's people? They're consolidating here and they're consolidating there and such, and coming together. And slowly, each of the other churches are going into what they call now the emerging church, with the, you know, the new music and such. And, you know, USM, they're on deck. Hey, you go to these churches, and it's all this jazzy music now and everything. And it's got that backbeat to it and such. And even the Baptist church. There's an independent Baptist church in Albany now with a woman pastor. Okay? I know some do better with a woman pastor, but... that's another thing. Let's close. Father, I thank you for what we've got here today. Thank you for the Combs being with us. Thank you for our lesson. We do pray that you greatly bless Brother Combs.